Jeremiah chapter 40. We'll also be looking at 41 this morning. But for the sake of time, we'll just read one verse to get us started. Jeremiah 40 in verse 1, it says, "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord after that Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had let him go from Ramah when he had taken him, being bound in chains among all that were carried away captive of Jerusalem and Judah, which were carried away captives unto Babylon." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again this morning for your goodness and mercy, and Lord, just again for the privilege of being in thine house, Lord. And we also pray for Alex, Lord, that you would give us something out of your word this morning, both to the adults and the children, Lord, and that you speak to us from thy word this morning. For we ask it in your blessed and holy name. Amen. And amen. If we look at chapter 40 and 41, the whole aspect of these two chapters is the plot against Gedaliah, who was set forth as the governor over Judah by Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, as we would say, he was somewhat of a puppet ruler who was just put in by Nebuchadnezzar to rule Judah while the captivity had finished and they were being moved to various places, to Babylon and things like that. And so in chapter 41, we'll see the details in Judah, what transpired, and we'll see how Gedaliah was put in as governor, and then we'll see the awful darkness in Judah, the aspect, the awful depravity of the heart of a young man named Ishmael who would assassinate Gedaliah. But again, under the details in Judah, in verses 1 to 6, we see the release of Jeremiah. Again, at verse 1, it says, "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord after that Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had let him go from Ramah when he had taken him, being bound in chains among all that were carried captives of Jerusalem and Judah, which were carried away captives into Babylon." And so there was a whole group that was taken to Ramah and some to Babylon. And in the group to Ramah was, of course, Jeremiah, because he was in prison. He was still bound in chains till he got there to Ramah. And in verse 2 it says, "And the captain of the guard took Jeremiah and said unto him, The Lord thy God hath pronounced this evil upon this place. Now the Lord had brought it and done according as he has said, because ye have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed his voice. Therefore this thing has come upon you." And apparently this man must have been aware with some of the preaching of Jeremiah, and amazing that he even says that to Jeremiah. But nonetheless, at verse 4 it says, "And now behold, I loose thee this day from the chains which were upon thine hand. If it seem good unto thee to come with me into Babylon, come, and I will look well unto thee. But if it seem ill unto thee to come with me unto Babylon, forbear. Behold, all the land is before thee. Whether it seem it good and convenient for thee to go, thither go." Now while he was not yet gone back, he said, "Go back also to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, whom the king of Babylon had made governor over the cities of Judah, and dwell with him among the people, and go wheresoever it seemed convenient unto thee to go." So the captain of the guard gave him victuals and a reward and let him go. Then went Jeremiah unto Gedaliah the son of Anakim to Mizpah, and dwelt with him among the people that were left in the land. And so here we see, of course, Jeremiah is released from prison. He's taken out of prison, and we saw most of this in chapter 39 last time. But what we're going to find out in this chapter also is the plan and the plot of the assassination of this governor named Gedaliah. And it's so sad that it would happen after the fall. You would think they would come together as a group. These did not go to Babylon. They were allowed to stay in the cities, some in Mizpah, some in Ramah. Mizpah's about 5 miles away from Jerusalem, and that's where apparently Jeremiah wanted to go, and that's where Gedaliah was. You know, assassinations of important persons always upset the time of that people, whoever is the ruler and things like that. And of course, at this point, it would be Gedaliah and the people underneath him. And, you know, whether it be a small country, a large country, or in the government, it's also quite an awful thing to happen in the aspect of assassination, for we know at least two of our presidents that have been assassinated in the many years of our country. And I don't know if you're familiar with history, but World War I began with an assassination. As a matter of fact, the Archduke Ferdinand of Austria was assassinated June 28, 1914, and that plunged the whole world into World War I. And so we see the awful results of assassination and the chaos and everything that happens when something like that transpired. And this is what we're going to see here. But the blessing that we see, first of all, in the first six verses, is that Jeremiah was set free. The Babylon released Jeremiah from prison. He was allowed to go wherever he wanted to. And this guard that was right under Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuzaradan, that we saw in chapter 39, told Jeremiah, you come with me to Babylon, basically I'm going to take care of you. You'll be taken well. You'll be taken care of, well off, everything will be fine. But apparently Jeremiah wanted to stay with the people that stayed in Mizpah and Ramah. And I think he did this just to encourage the people, just to perhaps speak to them, pray with them, remind them of the hope that they have in God, and that in, yes, 70 years, they might not be there, but at least to remember their seed, their family, their children, that in 70 years, they would go back. And so, what a kind gesture of Jeremiah, really, to stay with the people where he could have probably gone to Babylon, and in luxury would have been a good time for him. But Jeremiah, this shows the character of his heart, that he decided to stay with the people there in Mizpah. And so he was set free, and that's the most blessing thing, really, when you think about it. But I guess what surprised me the most, we read there in verses 2 and 3, that this man, Nebuzaradan, would be so familiar with the preaching of Jeremiah and would tell him why this had happened to them and the rebellion of the people and the sin of the people, and amazingly, why they fell. But nonetheless, again, Jeremiah is released from prison, and he is at liberty to go wherever he wants to in Judah, whatever city, and no doubt the Lord was going to use him. Then in verses 7 to 12, we have the rulership of Judah. That is, these are the men or the people that Nebuchadnezzar would set forth to watch over the providence there in Judah. And in verse 7 it says, now when all the captains of the forces which were in the field, even they and their men, heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, governor in the land, and had committed unto him men and women and children, and of the poor of the land, and of them that were not carried away captive to Babylon, they came to Gedaliah, to Mizpah. Even Ishmael, the son of Netaniah, and Johanan, and Jonathan, the sons of Kariah, and Zariah, the son of Tanhumeth, and the sons of Ephi, the Neophytite, and Jesaniah, the son of Maachathite, they and their men. And so the five men came together under Gedaliah just to inform themselves of what they're going to do, what's the prospect, what's going to happen while we're here in Mizpah. Verse 9, and Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, swear unto them and to their men, saying, fear not to serve the Chaldeans. Dwell in the land, serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you. Which is the same message that Jeremiah had been preaching for years and for years, but they would not. But now they understand that what Jeremiah had preached was true. And apparently Nebuchadnezzar, you know, allowed them to have that freedom. It doesn't always happen like that when a new king conquers another nation. Everybody's put into some sort of captivity and put under some awful rulership and dictatorship. But these were blessed with such liberty, and they're still allowed to worship their God. They're allowed to go run about and do those things that would do on an everyday basis, whatever work they would do, farming, whatever. But the blessing is they have that freedom as long as they submit to King Nebuchadnezzar. As he says there, it will be well with you. And so as these officers request this meeting with Gedaliah, they, of course, I can understand some of them were hesitant to come out of hiding, not knowing what might transpire. But nonetheless, he is assuring them everything's going to be well. Everything's going to go well. It shall be well with you at the end of verse 9. At verse 10, he says, as for me, behold, I will dwell at Mizpah to serve the Chaldeans, which will come under us. But ye gather your wine, your summer fruits, oil, and put them in your vessels, and dwell in your cities that ye have taken. And so, again, they're given this unbelievable liberty to live their lives as they were. But of course, they're all under the rulership of Nebuchadnezzar. And as long as they don't rebel against them and do any type of uprising against them, everything will be well with them and with their children. Again, the everyday aspect of their farming and things that they would do, everything would go well as long as they submit. Verse 11. Likewise, when all the Jews that were in Moab and among the Ammonites and in Edom, and they were in all the countries, heard that the king of Babylon had left a remnant in Judah, and that he had set over them Gedaliah the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan. Even all the Jews returned out of all places whither they were driven, and came to the land of Judah, to Gedaliah, unto Mizpah, and gathered wine, summer fruit, very much. And so they've been told of the rulership there in verses 7 to 12, but now the sad thing, we're going to see a rebellion in Judah in verses 13 to 16. Again, everything would have been smooth. Everything would have gone well. But again, here we see the awful depravity of man. Whatever reason is given for, and we're not told why Ishmael would seek to assassinate. Maybe he felt that Gedaliah had, you know, somehow struck a deal with Nebuchadnezzar against the Jews. And, you know, it doesn't make a difference what it was. But nonetheless, the plot was made. And they're going to get rid of this appointed governor by Nebuchadnezzar. Now, I guess Ishmael did not consider the recompense of such an act. What would that do? Well, that's not going to go too well with who? With Nebuchadnezzar. Because he's going to see this as a means of rebellion against him and his authority. So now he's going to make matters worse for everybody else. They had been blessed tremendously, given great liberty. And because of the actions of one man, all the people were going to be affected. Instead of, again, just submitting to the Babylonians, continue in their everyday life, doing the normalities of every day, the farming, whatever it was, and they would be blessed. But, again, there was rebellion in Judah. You would think by this point, again, they have fallen to the Babylonians. It is over. Jerusalem has been destroyed. In the sense, the walls have been broken. The sanctuary destroyed. The vessels taken away. Much of the city burnt. You would have thought that the people would seek to get together just to continue as a people. But again, all because of the action of one person, it affected all of them. The awful rebellion. Remember these men there in verses 7 and 8 and 9? They came together to hear what Gedaliah, the new ruler as governor over Jerusalem, what he was going to do, what his ideas were, and things like that. But at verse 13 it says, moreover, Johanan, the son of Kariah, and all the captains of the forces which were in the field came to Gedaliah to Mizpah, and said unto him, Dost thou certainly know that Baalis, the king of the Ammonites, had sent Ishmael, the son of Netaniah, to slay thee? But Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, believed him not. And it's so sad that Gedaliah did not believe what was going on. How this person found out that there was a plot to assassinate this governor. The governor, in his heart, did not believe that Ishmael would do such a thing. Remember, he was one of the five leaders that came in verses 7 and 8 to sit and to listen and to hear what was going to be done. And so there's no reason to believe this, but apparently this man was correct and he was planning to assassinate the king. And so sadly that Gedaliah would not hearken and listen to Johanan, the son of Kareah. Again, at verse 15, then Johanan, the son of Kareah, spake to Gedaliah in Mizpah, secretly saying, Let me go, I pray thee, and I will slay Ishmael, the son of Netaniah, and no man shall know it. Wherefore should he slay thee, that all the Jews which are gathered unto thee should be scattered, and the remnant in Judah perish? Why would you allow this? And if it happens, the recompense of it is going to be awful. It's going to bring some sort of catastrophe, because Nebuchadnezzar is not going to be a happy camper, because this is viewed as what? As rebellion against them. They would assassinate the governor that would be over them in Judah. And sadly, Gedaliah would not listen to Johanan. Again, verse 16, but Gedaliah, the son of Anaham, said unto Johanan, the son of Kareah, Thou shalt not do this thing, for thou speakest falsely of Ishmael. And so, you know, this young man, Johanan, could have taken care of the issue. Perhaps maybe if he had said, imprison him and not kill him, maybe Gedaliah would have accepted it. But nonetheless, it didn't happen. And therefore, in verse chapter 41, we entitled this, The Darkness in Judah. And I say this again because of what has already transpired with Judah completely, utterly destroyed. Most of them take him to captivity to Babylon. There's no king, there's no ruler, there's no guide. And Nebuchadnezzar is giving them the ability to continue to live their lives as they did before. And again, because the actions of this one man, sadly, everything was disturbed. The darkness in Judah, chapter 41, in verses 1 to 3, we see the assassination by Ishmael. 41 verse 1, it said, Now it came to pass in the seventh month that Ishmael, the son of Netaniah, the son of Elishama, of the royal seed and of the princes of the king, even 10 men with him, came to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, to Mizpah. And there they did eat bread together in Mizpah. And then arose Ishmael, the son of Netaniah, and the 10 men that were with him, and they smote Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, with the sword, and slew him, whom the king of Babylon had made governor over the land. Ishmael also slew all the Jews that were with him, even with Gedaliah, Mizpah, and the Chaldeans that were found, and the men of war. In other words, you think about it, there were some Chaldeans there under Nebuchadnezzar, just making sure that everything's being run smooth. They were killed. Men of war of the Jews that men had fought in the battle to defend Jerusalem, they were killed also. And it was an awful catastrophe, an awful aspect of what Ishmael did. Now, some commentators, whether it's true or not, because it speaks that he was of the royal seed, some believe that he was in the line of King David. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. I did not find that. I'm not saying it's not, but I'm just saying that I did not see that. But nonetheless, he was an important person, and no reason is given why he did this, but the fact that he did, and in the time that it was done, was so sad because they were given that liberty, that freedom. They weren't in chains. They weren't, you know, in some dungeon. They weren't in some awful dictatorship in the sense that they couldn't do anything. They had the liberty and the freedom. But this young man, Ishmael, just took it upon himself and others convinced the other to assassinate the governor, Gedaliah. And so the assassination by Ishmael. Now, if it had ended there, and if he had gone away, as he did, back to Egypt, trying to escape and all that, we could almost say, all right, for some reason he assassinated this governor, only known unto himself. But sadly, it did not stop there. And that's what makes matters worse. And as we see the ambush in verses 40-10, it's unbelievable what he did here. It just shows again the cold, callous heart of a murderer. Unbelievable, really. In verse 4 it says, and it came to pass the second day after he had slain Gedaliah, and no man knew it, that there came certain from Shechem and Shiloh and from Samaria, even 80 men, and they're coming. People are coming out and they come into this place because they've heard that they've been blessed, they've been given the liberty, they can live their lives there in peace and in freedom. So here you have 80 apparently religious men who had their beard shaven, their clothes were rent, and we know that was a type of sincere broken heart with repentance, and having cut themselves with offerings and incense in their hands to bring them to the house of the Lord. And Ishmael, talk about a hypocrisy at its worst. And Ishmael, the son of Netaniah, went forth from Mizpah to meet them, weeping all along as he went. And it came to pass as he met them, he said unto them, come to Gedaliah, the son of Anakim. And so they believed him. And so, little did they know, they were walking right into an awful ambush. Verse 7, and it was so, when they came into the midst of the city, that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, slew them, and cast them into the midst of the pit, he and the men that were with him. But 10 men were found among them that said unto Ishmael, slay us not, for we have treasures in the field of wheat and barley and of oil and of honey. So he forbear and slew not among the brethren. And maybe that was the whole aspect. He wanted to get all the riches, wanted to get all the things he could get for himself. He was very greedy. And he didn't kill these 10. Unbelievable. And then we're told where these 80, or I should say 70, were put to death. It says in verse 9, now the pit wherein Ishmael had cast all the dead bodies of the men whom he had slain because of Gedaliah was it which Asa the king had made for fear of Baasha king of Israel, and Ishmael the son of Nethaniah filled it with them that were slain. Then Ishmael carried away captive all the residue of the people that were in Mizpah, even the king's daughters, and all the people that remained in Mizpah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, had committed to Gedaliah, the son of Eliakim. And Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, carried them away captive and departed to go over to the Ammonites. And so, after he comes, he assassinates Gedaliah, he ambushes all these, kills them, buries them in a particular pit. All of a sudden, he lives, but he takes with him captives. And some of them, I believe, were under the rulership of Nebuchadnezzar. And thus, in verses 11 to 18, when the abandonment of Ishmael by that, I'm trying to find a word that started with the letter A to fill up my illiterate outline. By abandonment, I'm saying that he fled. He took off whether he was afraid or whatever, or knew something was coming against them, nonetheless, he took off quickly. Verse 11, and when Johanan, remember, this is the same man that had went to Gedaliah and told him, this man Ishmael is going to assassinate you. But Gedaliah would not believe him. And so when Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces that were with him heard of all the evil that Ishmael, the son of Netaniah, had done. Keep your finger there. Interesting that this story is also at the end of 2 Kings. Go to 2 Kings 25. In 2 Kings 25, we begin with 2 Kings 25, 22. It says, and as for the people that remain in the land of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had left, even over them he made Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, ruler. And when all the captains of the armies, they and their men, heard that the king of Babylon made Gedaliah governor, there came to Gedaliah to Mizpah, even Ishmael, the son of Netaniah, Johanan, the son of Kareah, Sariah, the son of Tanhumen, the Netophathite, and Jaazaniah, the son of Mehatite, they and their men. And Gedaliah sware to them, and to their men, and their men, and said unto them, fear not to be servants of the Chaldees. Dwell in the land, serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you. But it came to pass in the seventh month that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishama, of the seat royal, came, and 10 men with him, and smote Gedaliah, and he died, and the Jews, and the Chaldees that were with him in Mizpah, and all the people, both small and great, and the captains of the armies arose and came to Egypt, for they were afraid of the Chaldees, because they knew that Nebuchadnezzar was going to deal with the issue at hand. But nonetheless, back to Jeremiah 41. Ishmael takes off, goes to Egypt, thinks he can escape. In verse 13 of chapter 41 of Jeremiah, it says, now it came to pass that when all the people which were with Ishmael, so Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces that were with him, then they were glad. So all the people that Ishmael had carried away captive from Mizpah cast about and returned and went unto Johanan, the son of Kareah. And Ishmael, the son of Nathan, escaped from Johanan with 8 men and went to the Ammonites. Then took Johanan, son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces that were with him, and all the remnant of the people whom he had recovered from Ishmael, the son of Netaniah, from Mizpah, after that he had slain Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, even mighty men of war, and the women and the children, the eunuchs, whom he had brought again from Gideon. And they departed and dwelt in the habitation of Chim, which is by Bethlehem, to go enter into Egypt, because of the Chaldeans, for they were afraid of them, because Ishmael the son of Netaniah had slain Gedaliah the son of Ahikam, whom the king of Babylon had made governor in the land. And so again, they were all afraid, they were scared, because they knew the recompense of Nebuchadnezzar was not going to be good, because he would see this as a fierce rebellion. But nonetheless, apparently this man, Johanan, was also a good man, and he went and he got most of the people back. So he did recover some of the people, so that's the blessing. But nonetheless, it just shows the awful action of one person. Greedy? Was it for envy? Or just the fact he didn't like Gedaliah? It didn't make a difference. But just to willfully just assassinate somebody and then act like a hypocrite, weeping before the people that had come, those 80, that were sincere religious people. And then he slew them also. Such wickedness. And it's so sad again that even in our day when we see this person killed or that person killed over foolishness, over wicked things. It's just, would it be a gang or just something that happened in, maybe in the bar or whatever, or even drive-by shooting in the rage and things like that, having no regard for the life of people. Having no regards. But nonetheless, the Word of God stands still and it says, thou shalt not kill. So it doesn't make a difference.
Right.
Justified or not, thou shalt not kill. And so, what a, again, lesson to learn the importance submitting to authority and just the aspect of examining our hearts. You know? You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ came, we know that He set forth the Ten Commandments in the true light in which they would to be practiced. Not so much the outward deed, which it is the application of wicked sin when a person commits it, but the Lord took it a step further to the aspect of the heart. Again, not so much the deed of adultery, but even if a man or woman looked at another person to lust after them, He said, you're guilty of adultery. And the same concept that if you hate somebody, you're guilty of murder. Because within your heart, you have that awful hatred toward him. Amazing. But nonetheless, may God grace us again that we would walk in the path of righteousness for His namesake. And what again, a sad story. But this was all at the end of the captivity, at the end of everything that had happened. You would have thought everybody was going to work together for the purpose of that God would bless. But this young man Ishmael ruined. So now, we'll look in chapter 42. I knew I didn't have enough time to add chapter 42 because now the people are going to go seek Jeremiah to pray for them because they know there could be trouble in the horizon when Nebuchadnezzar. But nonetheless, let's in here. Blessed Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank You again this day for Your mercies and for Your goodness towards us, Lord. And we thank You for Your word. And the Lord, let us again take value in the aspect of life and the things that we do, and even to examine our hearts, that there be no hatred in our hearts toward one another or toward others. And so, Lord, we just ask that You would bless these things and that You would cause us to walk again in the path of righteousness for Thy name's sake. And thus we ask all this in Your blessed and holy name. Amen. Let's take a short break.